Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood? It's your boy, James Lopez, representing once again for the dopest dad community out there. Just like fatherhood, entrepreneurship isn't easy, and there are no blueprints to it. Today, we are talking about running your business as a parent with the homie James Oliver, a parentpreneur. What's good, James?
What's up, man?
Oh, man. Man, another day, man. I'm glad to have another James on the show, man. It's weird, but I never get to say my name, so so this is dope. None of my kids are juniors, you know what I mean? So they didn't get that lucky. So yeah, James, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for over 10 years now, man, and people always ask me tons of questions about it. As the business grew, the free time died down. So thank you for having a community of hustling parents set up for us, man. I truly appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. The Parentpreneur Foundation is great, and I just enjoy doing it and puts a smile on my face.
Yeah, you know, some people, you know, before we even get into it, like, you know, when I first started my business, people used to tell me all the time, you know, those that can't do teach, right? And then they switched it to those that can't do start a community. I think that's full of bullshit, bro. I think that's real bullshit right there. Like, I think as an entrepreneur, you starting a community is the best thing you can do. Do you agree?
You know, it depends, man. Like, what are you trying to accomplish? But, you know, I hear a lot of people saying start a community. But, like, how? I don't, you know, for me, it made sense to, it's a central part of our business model with the Parentpreneur Foundation. So the Parentpreneur Foundation empowers Black parentpreneurs so they can leave a legacy for their beautiful Black children. And I started this foundation during the middle of COVID with a $50,000 seed grant from renowned venture capitalist Brad Feld. And, you know, 3 months, I turned $50,000 into $200,000 of value for our community. But it made sense for me because community was an integral part of the business model for the foundation. So I always like to say, you know, come for the grants, stay for the community.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a proud recipient of both. I'm a proud recipient of the grant and the community. And, you know, that's why I think sometimes it's a little bit of BS, because I didn't come to you for the grant. I came to you because of the community that you were building, where I saw that as parents, you know, this starting a business is hard. First of all, whether you're single or with kids, it is hard. And one of the things that we lack the most as businessmen is community. Like, people don't understand us, bro. Like, they don't understand what we're going through, what our trials and tribulations are, why we're always on the go. So it's good to have a community.
Yeah, but you got to have a really strong value proposition for people to want to be part of the community. So I'm in. So our community platform is our Mighty Networks, which I'm super thrilled about because I don't like Facebook. I think I don't like Facebook groups, and I intentionally did not put it on Facebook because I think it's important for you to own your community. So while I don't own the Mighty Networks platform, I own the community. I could download all the data tomorrow and upload it someplace else and spend it in my community someplace else. So I own it.
Yeah.
You know, unlike on Facebook, you know, I don't have to pay money for people to see my stuff. Every time I post something, everybody gets a notification, assuming they have their notifications on. So I think that's important, but I'm also part of Mighty Networks has this, their own group called Mighty Hosts for everybody who has a community with on Mighty Networks. And, you know, a lot of people are struggling to have a thriving community. So I think you can't just say, I'm going to start a community, because it will be just like, you know, the Facebook groups and the LinkedIn groups where it's just like a ghost town. You just got people posting, hardly any likes, hardly any engaged with any of the posts. So you have to have a really compelling why and value proposition, and you need to be delivering value, and you got to show up consistently. And I think I do a really good job of those things, which is verified by our engagement metrics are off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, and I could,
I'm growing like crazy too.
Yeah. And I could attest to that, because it's somebody like I'm somebody that's always on the go. So I don't get to use the internet as much as people think I do. Like, I'm a computer scientist, and they think, oh, you know, you do computer science, that means you're coding all day long. And it's like, nah, I'm running my business and I'm taking care of my kids. So I don't really have time to be inside community-driven causes. But I also know that if I need something, I know which community to go to. Where I don't need to post every day, but I know you got something for me there every single day. And it's not just the, hey, how you doing? It's something of value. Maybe it's seeing Seth Godin. Maybe it's having somebody looked over your LinkedIn profile. Like, I know that whenever I do open that thing, whatever I'm searching for that's valuable, chances are they're in there. And that's what I like.
Yeah, no, we're very intentional, man. We don't, you know, we're not here to play. Parenthood is no joke. Entrepreneurship is no joke. Being a parent and an entrepreneur is no joke. And then being a Black parent plus entrepreneur on top of that, well, that's just another level of crazy. So
total craziness.
That's why we're here, man.
Total craziness. Craziness. All right, so let's help some of these parents out here that might want to start a business, right? Let's say they're working mm-hmm. a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. How do you propose that people vet their ideas? Do they treat them as side hustles, or do they say, yo, I got to go in fully? Like, what's the difference?
Nah, you got to. Yeah, I wouldn't go in fully. I would, you need to validate your idea, right?
Yeah.
You need to do some quote unquote customer discovery, talk to your would-be customers. And it's, I think I posted something in the community, from this really prominent VC about how to make your minimum viable product truly viable.
Yeah.
So if you want to, you know, take that article out of there and like share that with your community, I think they would find that extraordinarily helpful. But you need to do a lot of customer discovery, figure out what people really want, and then build something, right? Give them some kind of working prototype of it to show it to them and get some feedback and make it better, and then find out they'll pay for it. Try to get a sense for how much, and, you know, just keep iterating on that. And then finally, like, launch a product or service. Like, you got to launch it. I mean, it's all good to say I'm an entrepreneur, I got a startup, blah, blah, but you haven't actually launched a product. You're just running your mouth.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, one thing that I want the community to know is, you know, you mentioned your MVP. And, you know, people that are new to business don't know what an MVP is. They don't know anything about lean startup methodologies. So can you explain MVP a little bit more in your words?
Yeah, it's a minimum viable product. It is some bare bones element of what it is you intend to sell, offer to customers. And you've got to get that into the hands of your would-be consumers or customers as soon as possible, because you got to get feedback.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I mean, nobody's doing business plans anymore, but the joke was, you know, a business plan doesn't survive the first customer encounter. Because it all sounds good, it all looks good on paper, but until you actually, you know, put the food in front of the dog, you got to see if the dog will eat the food.
Yeah.
The dog might just be sniffing around the bowl, but the dog might not eat the food.
Yeah, they might not need it that bad, you know? Might not need the food that bad at that moment.
Well, that's good. Dogs love to eat. They just might not want your food because it's not delicious enough, because you didn't figure out what kind of food that dog wants.
Yeah, you didn't find the right market product fit, you know?
Well, that's why you got to do customer discovery and figure out what your customers want and deliver that to them.
Yeah, and another good way to think of it for the community out there is, like, think of Microsoft. Like, when you use Word, what are some of the features you use? Like, you use copy, paste, maybe undo. But the thing has, like, 10,000 features. So if you want to beat Microsoft, you just focus on the top three features that you want to build, not the other 9,000 of them. You know what I mean? And that gets you to your customers a little bit quicker than saying, damn, you know, I need to have a community, but for me to build anything, I need 1 million people first. Well, chances of you getting to the million people first is kind of slim. You know what I mean? So you got to build something.
You got to build something. Like, and I like to say, in doers we trust.
Yeah, man. And it's respected. It's respected. Like you said, in doers we trust. You know, if you want somebody that's an entrepreneur to really help you, work. Put in work.
You got to get work.
That's it.
People don't come to me. Yeah, you got to do the work. You got to do the work. Like, I'm happy to help anybody, but you got to do the work, man. Like, that's it, right?
Yeah, time is short, right? Like, if you're busy,
you gotta do the work.
If you're busy jumping on the phone and talking to 20 people, telling them what an LLC is, yo, who's going to build your community? There's just certain things that we as people could do ourselves and then come to the professionals.
A quick Google search will bear that out, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. That goes for any entrepreneur, whether they have a child or not. Their time is very, very short, right? They don't have too much time to play around. Throwing kids, oh, forget about it. You're in trouble. You might never reach them. So put in the work first.
Yeah.
People like to help those that put in the work first. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. You got to do the work, man. 100%.
Yeah, so now, as a person of color, man, you know, in tech, the funding was always fun. And I say it's fun because, you know, you raised 50K and then you flipped that to 200K. One thing when I first started in the business that everybody told me was, yo, get your seed investment, which is your first investment into your company, from your family and friends.
Don't get me started on that, man.
Bro, come on, man. Come on. That shit don't exist in my family, man.
don't get me started. Like, people, that's the dumbest thing you could tell a black entrepreneur. I mean, all you got to do is look at the wealth inequality data, and you see, you know, we don't have, you know, our family don't have the money. Just that really upsets me when I see people telling black entrepreneurs to do a friend and family round. They just don't have any idea what's going on. Yeah, they just got to knock that off.
So what's the best way for somebody like us to gather the funding if we know the VCs or certain people think like that? Like, is it customers?
Well, that's why we said you shouldn't quit your day job, right?
Yes.
So, you know, if you got to do a little Uber driver side hustle to take that money to invest into your business, you know, people talk about crowdfunding. The crowdfunding is extraordinarily difficult.
Yeah.
It's not easy. But you can do crowdfunding. There's lots of grants out here right now that I see, and I know people who are winning them and getting them. So you could do that. But, you know, if you could do a good enough job with your customer discovery, build a product, and then get customers to pay you for what you offer, there you go.
Yeah, you got your funding.
Another thing that people can do that's very overlooked is sponsorship, corporate sponsorship.
Mm-hmm. And what does that entail? Like reaching out to a corporation and telling them what you're going to do? Let's assume that you don't have a business yet, that you're just working on the beginning stages.
Well, no, you need to have a business that's like legit and solid in order to get a corporation to sponsor you. Corporations are not going to sponsor an MVP. But once you get it up and running, instead of looking for angel investors, corporate sponsors might be a way to get $10, $20, $50, $100,000 in sponsorship. It's just a different way to approach it. So we actually, that's one of the webinars we did in our community, and I had Mario Armstrong, mm-hmm. who's the best person I know at getting corporate sponsorships, come in and talk about how to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's why the community is important right there, because not everybody could get to Mario Armstrong. Like I know Mario through the Never Settles Club, you know, seen him rise in the space. You know, I think he even won, what was it, like an Emmy or something like that. And it's like,
he's got two Emmys now.
Look at that. And it's like, yo, you, not everybody's going to have the opportunity to talk to him. So you better join the community.
Mario's my dude. Right. That's my dude. It's impossible to catch up with him. That's my dude. Like, he wrote the foreword to my book. He got my business on the Today Show 3 times. Yeah, that's my dude. But he's impossible to get a hold of. You got to chase his ass down.
Yeah, and you know what? Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about that. Because this is something that, especially in our community of black and brown people, right? Let's just say minorities, right? We look at our friends, and if they don't want to help us, we get upset. But sometimes people like Mario, they can't help us, and it's not that they don't want to. Can you talk about that a little bit?
You know, so I think one of the chapters in my book, so my book is called The More You Hustle, The Luckier You Get, You Can Be a Successful Parentpreneur. Some have called it the realest book about entrepreneurship they ever read. And it's a chapter in my book. It's available on Amazon. So there's a chapter in my book that asks the question, you know, who's more likely to help you when you're starting a business, friends or strangers? And, you know, I ask that question. A lot of people are like, oh, strangers, you know. But I think it's both. I think your friends will help to the extent that they can in some cases. And a lot of times strangers will help you too. But the key is, like, you have to be consistent. You have to do a good job. You have to do the work. And people will show up and help you. And if you have a compelling value proposition, I think you increase the likelihood that you'll get help They're both friends and strangers.
Yeah. What if you're the type of person that looks at your friend and says, I don't care how busy they are. They're supposed to help me.
Nah, that's ain't nobody. Don't nobody owe you nothing. That's all wrong.
I think that's a key. That's the key phrase right there, man. Nobody owes you anything.
Nobody owes you anything.
And I think that's one of the things.
First of all, you got to change your attitude. First of all, that mindset is all wrong.
Yep.
Nobody owes you anything. And you know, I'm pretty consistent. I'm very intentional about where I spend my time on social media. So I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter. And most of the time, it seems like nobody's paying attention. But then every once in a while, actually pretty often, people ping me in a DM. Hey, like, how can I help? I see what you're doing. I love what you're doing. How can I help? Or make a donation. You just have to be consistent, show up, get out your feelings, right? And, you know, deliver value and bring the receipts. Like, you show the receipts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. So now, you know, like for you, you started the community and everything. What made you jump off the cliff? Like, was it to create a legacy or was it the money or was it a combination of two? Because I know in tech, you know, in tech, we don't like talking about money. We like saying, yo, let's just build the app. Let's build the user base and we'll figure out money later. And it's like, no, that, you know, that kind of hurts a lot of us. You know what I mean? It hinders a lot of us where we forget about why we're there, you know?
So I'm a parapreneur. And, you know, my introduction to being a parapreneur was I was living in Northeast Wisconsin, really far from family. And my twins were born 3 months prematurely. They weighed 2 pounds each 2 days before I was going to begin a tech startup accelerator. And it was a 2-hour drive each way to Madison where the accelerator was. So that was my introduction to being a parapreneur. So I uniquely understand the challenges of being a parentpreneur. And when I dropped my book in March of 2017, I said, all right, one of these days I'm going to start a foundation to empower parentpreneurs in general. And then, you know, the world fell apart with George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, all this stuff. And started looking at the data and I was like, oh, fuck it. Like, this foundation is just going to be for Black parentpreneurs because we need the help the most. Mm-hmm. So, and then I was just using my social capital to connect with some people. So I reached out to Brad Feld and David Cohn, who are the co-founders of Techstars. I met them on a Google Hangout when I started my accelerator, and I just stayed in touch with them. And I built a relationship with Brad over the years. It took, you know, like 8 years, 7 years. But before that, you know, he found out about my book. He actually bought the book. I got an email. He's like, yo, I just read your book. I loved it. He put it on his blog, which is great because he has people reading his book blog all around the world. So I sold some books from that. And so I felt comfortable going in to him when I was like, hey, I'm going to do this foundation. This is, again, it was supposed to be just for everybody. And, you know, him and David were like, yeah, you know, foundation's hard. And they're not wrong. A foundation is hard. But, you know, for me, I'm like, yo, it's hard being Black. I didn't tell them this, but I'm thinking. I'm like, you know, I've had to scrape and scrap for every blade of grass on the field of life. And telling me something is hard doesn't land with me because that's not a reason to not do it because it's all hard.
Yeah. All of it. But then, all of it. Life is hard, right, man. Shit.
Right. It's hard, right? So, But then all those things happened that I mentioned, and I decided it was going to be for Black parapreneurs. And then I got an email out the blue from Brad asked me if I wanted to hop on a 30-minute Zoom, and I was like, well, hell yeah, right?
And yeah, you can't say no. You can't say no to Brad, man. Come on, man. That's Techstars,
no,
bro.
No, I mean,
you don't say no to that.
Right. So, but when he was like, yo, what two things are you working on addressing racial injustice and inequality I could put my time, money, and attention to? And so we hopped on the Zoom, and I told him that the foundation was for Black parentpreneurs now. And he was like, I'm so glad that you did that. And he was like, well, what would a 12-month operating plan look like? He said, why don't you throw it up in a Google document? I'll co-create it with you. And I was like, wow.
That's invaluable, bro. Like, that's insane. Because when you go to Techstars, Y Combinator, any of them, you come in with your shit together, not looking for them to come help you. And to have somebody like him help, whoo, that's tremendous.
So I got him the 12-month plan. The next day after that, he's like, this is a great first start. What would a 6-month plan look like? I got that back to him. He was like, I assumed three things, one of which was a $50,000 grant from my foundation to get this thing off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history.
That's beautiful. So you did it to create, not only to create a legacy, but to help people. Like the, like I'm sure when you sat there, you thought about how am I going to keep the lights on, but that wasn't the main driver. Like, I think a lot of people, when they start a business, you know, the main driver is usually, can I make money off of this? When it should be, can I cause a difference? If I cause a difference, the money should come.
Well, yeah, I mean, we fundraise. I pay myself a salary to doing this. And I mean, I'm not paying myself enough right now. I mean, I pay, you know, when I raise money, more money, I'll be able to pay myself in appropriate ways, given my, you know, experience and the impact I'm making in the community and everything. But yeah, that's all baked in, right? When you start something, you pay yourself a little bit so you can pay yourself more, right? So that's what we're doing. And again, I just stay showing up, delivering value. The community is thriving, it's growing like crazy. We're about to do another round of grants here in a couple of weeks. This round of grant is actually going to be exclusively for the dadpreneurs in our community, because I feel like in these trep streets, I see, and look, you know, women deserve all the shine they're getting because they've been marginalized for so long.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, and black women stay killing it. Like 75% of our community is black women. But I don't see black dadpreneurs or black men getting a lot of love out in these trap streets. And I actually think that's kind of a continuation of, you know, the marginalization destruction of the black community and the black family in particular, because if you keep the black father or the black man down, that keeps the black family, it hinders them. So, you know, I'm not saying that that's what they're intentionally doing right now, but I see it as a continuation of what has been intentional for a long time. So I'm here to represent for these, for the dads, for my next round of grants, because it's important for the spouses, the boyfriends, and, you know, the girlfriends and the children of the dads to see their black dad successful and see him in a certain light. And I just want to support them, encourage them to stand up and be inspired and to keep going. So that's why our next round of grants is going to be for those guys.
You know, I'm a little bit biased, you know, so I'm all for the dads. You know, like, I think I think me being in the fatherhood space, you know, shout out to the women. But when I go to meet up with like a lot of dad groups or dad organizations, they're ran by women. So it's something special to see another dad be the boss. You know what I mean? Where the women can do it fine. They don't even need our help to do it. But damn, it feels good to see that there's another dad putting in work, whether that's in the fatherhood space, tech space, car space, whatever, you know?
But here's the thing, man. Women love to build communities.
Yes.
Men, not so much.
We chase different things. You know, we chase the money.
A quarter of my community is dadpreneurs, and they under index in terms of engagement in the group. And I'm thinking now, what can I do to get the guys more involved? So you're going to start seeing some things from me that are very intentional. So, you know, I do these regular Zoom meeting greets. I did one today, which is great. Yeah. They're always so great. I'm going to do one just for the dadpreneurs. I'm be like, yo, you know, grab a cigar, get your glass of scotch, whatever you like to drink. Let's do like a little virtual cigar lounge. Let's just come chop it up. Men only. Women, you come through here, I'm about to kick you out. This is not for y'all. Mm-hmm. This is for the fellas.
I like it.
Because, you know, I've seen some things, articles that, you know, when men, particularly when they get to the middle age, they don't have as many friends. Their circle's increasingly smaller. And it's literally killing us.
Yeah.
Like, literally. And, you know, we gotta do better. So I'm going to do my small part to help in that regard.
Yeah, I think with men in general or dads, like, one of the biggest issues is, you know, asking for help, or not even just asking for help, but feeling like you're worthless, right? And when you first start off your business, if you're a prideful dude, oh man, you're going to wake up really, really quick, because everything that you expected to happen is not going to happen. You know what I mean? So I think that's one of the bigger issues, where we don't like to seem like we failed, which is, you know, kind of ludicrous. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yo, you can't fail when you actually tried something. And I think that's a big thing. Like, when you talk to a lot of parents, do you get a lot of parents that say, man, I wish I would have started this business 20 years ago?
I'm not really having a lot of those conversations. And, you know, quite honestly, I don't think that's a productive conversation, mm-hmm. or productive thinking for people, because it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is right now.
That's right. Like, that's right.
What are you going to do today? That's the only thing that matters.
Yeah. And I bring it up because even today, a lot of dads will say, I'm afraid. What do you see that is the biggest fear for an entrepreneur, woman or male? Like, what is the biggest fear that they're going to hit rock bottom?
People afraid to fail. But yeah, look, I'm here to tell you, man, I have failed. All the things that I was afraid were going to happen happened. I stared into the abyss, and I'm still here. I'm standing up, actually standing up taller and stronger than ever. So I'm not afraid of anything.
Yeah.
So really, don't be afraid. You know what I mean? And don't focus on, when you focus on those things that you're afraid of, man, the mind is crazy, man. The things we put our attention on, those things expand. So don't focus on the fear.
Yeah. I mean,
focus on the fear.
I mean, I treat it like fatherhood, right? Like business is like fatherhood. Like if you're always fearful that your child is going to do bad in school, for example, right? If you're always thinking about that instead of helping them to get over it, then when they do bad, you kind of expected it and it kind of sucks. Yeah. But when they do well, it's like, all right, I was here. Like, I tried. I was part of this. And you're going to fail. Like, I remember with the Fat Startup, you know, we standing with billionaires talking to them about tech. And I would tell people in the crowd, yo, I'm going to embarrass myself up here. Do you think I care? Like, I don't care that I'm embarrassing myself, because I'm here speaking to the person you want to speak to. Without me being here embarrassing myself to talk to this person and looking foolish, you would never get the gems that you need. So yeah. I'm over it. I'm over it. If I fail, I fail. Now I just look at it and say, at least I tried. While most people will not even attempt.
But look, man, here's the thing. At the end of the day, and actually I wrote about this in my book, that told the story of this palliative care nurse. And if you're in palliative care, you probably have 6 months or less to live. Mm-hmm. And she talked about, you know, those people, so many of them have regrets. They regret that they didn't start the business, they didn't take the world trip, or whatever. They just regretted it. And you can't live life that way, man. Like, tomorrow's not promised to any of us. You got to have the courage to do what you want to do. And, you know, I know it sounds crazy, but when you step out there and you're intentional about it, and, you know, these people, these things start showing up to help you. Because, like, when I decided I was going to start this foundation, bro, like, I went head first. I started writing articles saying I'm doing this. I had no idea how I was going to do this. Mm-hmm. But I said I was going to do it, and I did it.
Yeah. And I think by you putting it out there that you're doing it, you hold yourself accountable. Because in entrepreneurship, everybody will tell you you're wrong, except for a selected few. Meaning that if you go to your friends and family, they're not doing the work that you're doing.
Don't talk to those people.
Don't talk to them, because they're going to tell you don't do it.
don't waste a second talking to people who have not been where you're going.
Yes.
Don't waste a nanosecond talking to those people.
Yeah, because they fuck everything up, bro.
They're dream killers, man. Don't talk to them.
Yeah.
Don't tell them anything.
I remember when I quit my job, you know, a nice little job I had with Random House Incorporated, the book publishing company. My dad and my mom were all for it. They all looked at me and said, man, we all knew you were going to do something else. You know what I mean? But the immediate family of especially my wife's side of the family, you know, the comments were, yo, what are you teaching your kids? Like, you staying at home? Like, you shouldn't do this. You're going to fail. And I had to take it upon myself to look at them and say, yo, they have no idea where I'm going. They can't be guiding me.
No.
They punks. They scared. And I don't want to be the 70-year-old dude sitting in the office saying, yo, I'm going to retire next year, but I wish I started a company in my 20s. Nah.
Exactly.
Nah, you can't. Just like parenting, entrepreneurship is one of those things that you got to go with your gut. You can't go with what other people tell you to do. You know what I mean? In parenting, you will never let somebody else tell you how to raise your daughter or your son. Same thing has to be done with business.
I think Mark Twain said it best. Mark Twain said the two most important days are the day you were born and the day you figure out why. Go figure out why, and then go do that.
Yeah, exactly. So I got a question that's a little bit more personal, right? Days that you have that things aren't going right and it feels like you're failing, right? Considering you're a dad, how do you get over those days? Like, do you look at your kids and say, this is for you or what? Like, how do you get over those bad days where shit just doesn't go your way?
Yeah, well, that happens a lot, man. So like I said, like, I'm in alignment, man. I'm co-creating this whole experience with God. And so when I'm in this thing called the Church for Entrepreneurs, and it's Pastor Amos Johnson. He's actually in our community. You know, I do these spirituality Sundays things every Sunday. And one of the things that he talked about was, you know, you can't fight negative thoughts with thoughts. You have to fight negative thoughts with words. So when I feel the negative thoughts creeping in, and they happen all the time, right? But so I just feel like, I just say out loud, everything is amazing. Why? Because God got it. And I just say that over and over and over and over again, out loud. And then I feel better. And then guess what? Everything's amazing. And I find myself just saying it now, just preemptively, because I know eventually those stupid negative thoughts are going to try to creep into my head. And I just, I got no time for those, man.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. Nah, you got to keep them away. I'm with you though. Like you know, people always ask me like, why? Like, why did you do this? Or why did you do it that way? And I always tell them, man, like, the way you thought I was supposed to do it was a given. Like, that was the way I was supposed to do it. When I know that I'm supposed to do something a given way, or I'm supposed to obtain something, I go for more. Mm-hmm. Because I look at it as, man, me getting it isn't a celebration. I was supposed to get this. Mm-hmm. How do I challenge myself some more? And I think that that's really, really hard for an entrepreneur to do when they're new. When it's like their first year in the game, it's like, man, I can never get anything right. And it's like, no, yeah, you get some things right. You're just not celebrating them.
Yeah. So I heard you curse. So it's okay to curse on the podcast.
Of course, but, man. Of course, man.
All right. So I'm gonna tell a quick story. But this is perfect. There used to be this show on TV called The Mind of the Married Man. Actually, it's a long, inappropriate story. So I'm not gonna tell the whole story. But the bottom line is, and you know, he was like, had all these women, and this woman he was hanging out with, and all the guys were like, yo, how do you get these amazingly attractive women to date? And you know, like, I've seen you in the shower, like, there's nothing special about you, you know? And he was like, that's just it, you know? You're right. But he said, I got big dick mentality. He said, you got little dick mentality. And he said, that shit kills more American men every year than heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to level up your expectations, and you got to get your swag on 10. And then you got to get aligned, right, with your faith, whatever that is. And trust that, because, you know, the hard way is the hard way and the easy way is the easy way. And I've done things the hard way on my own, and those things don't work. And I'm telling you, I've been virtual schooling my 8-year-old twin since last March.
Mm-hmm.
And half the time I can't even think straight. So I've been, no.
It's a fact.
I started this foundation, and I mean, I feel like every day I've been operating with half my brain tied behind my back. But despite that, we've been highly productive. We raised $140,000 for this foundation in like 7 months.
Yeah.
And you know, we've been blessing so many people. The community is thriving and growing. It's just, but that's because, like, I'm in alignment, and I just, every night I go to bed and wake up, I was like, all right, God, just tell me what to do today. And oh, by the way, just send me a couple of people to help me along the journey. And people stay showing up. And I get inspired. I go do that. And we continue to be effective. And I don't worry. And this is the week of spring break. My ex-wife has the kids. I got a whole week and a couple of days to myself. And I'm just like luxuriating, relaxing, riding my bike every day. I'm on the patio now, you know, smoking a cigar. And I'm just relaxing, man.
You recharging.
And that's it.
We call that
recharging.
I'm recharging stage.
I'm doing so work. But the other thing is, like, we can't be so hard on ourselves. Because I was like, you know, during this spring break, I'm definitely not nail down my fundraising plan, because we got to raise another $160,000 to fully execute our 2021 programs. I'm going to get this plan together so we can prepare to scale up this foundation. You know, I've done some of that work, but today I was like, you know what, man, fuck this. Like, I need a fucking break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's okay.
I'm going to do some of that work, and I have done some of it, but I need to just relax. So I am relaxing, fam. I rode my bike. I did a Zoom in the community. That always gives me life. I had a glass of wine, smoking a cigar. It's relaxing, recharging. Exactly, like you said.
I think something you said there that was very, very important as an entrepreneur and even as a father is to do things that give you life. Like, you know, people look at me and be like, man, you have way too much fun hanging out with your kids. Well, my kids give me life, and then the activities that we do are the activities that I like. So there's no complaining here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
Like, you got to give yourself that life, man.
You do, man. So, like, for me, because I'm virtual schooling the kids every day, I only get 2 out of 14 days to myself. And this is what I'm telling you. Like, this pandemic has been really hard. It's hard on my kids. It's hard on me. You know, my daughter, we just got her diagnosed officially with ADHD. So because she's had that, that was making virtual school incredibly difficult for her, for me, for my son, for all of us. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's been hard, man. But listen, man, I just, like I said, you know, if I'm having a hard time with my kids, because I was struggling with that, I didn't know what to do. And I was like, I was just like, God, just fix this, please. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. Like, I just need you to fix it. And, you know, things got better. So, okay, man.
Nah, I mean, I think COVID threw a wrench in everybody's thing. So now, like, you know, when you started the foundation, you started it during COVID, you're working on it, things are ramping up, but so is remote learning. How did you find time for yourself? Like, those other, like you say, you had 2 days for yourself. What did you do those 2 days? Like, did you do things without the kids or with them?
Well, if I don't have them, that's myself, right? So
yeah.
So I'm sitting on my patio. Like, this is my sacred space, man. I love to sit on the patio, smoke a cigar, have a glass of wine, listen to my music. That's my sacred time, man. Now, if the weather's nice here in Atlanta, riding my bike, that's sacred time. Mm-hmm. So those are the things I like to do.
And what are some of the things you like doing with your kids? Like, what is it that you do with your kids that reminds you, you know, fatherhood is lit?
So, you know, now I've been very, before I got my first vaccine shot, I was very mindful of not exposing my kids to any COVID, you know, danger, if you will. So we've been spending a lot of time in the house, but, you know, I got them some drones. I took them to the park to fly some drones. You know, I'm feeling a lot better now that I got a vaccine and people are getting vaccinated here, but I still am not taking them around a lot of people. So, you know, we're going to, you know, go ride bikes, go to the pool, you know, those types of things, man.
Simple things like the movie night, building some forts and stuff.
Oh yeah. My son loves to do Lego. I watch movies with them. I play Xbox with them. So, you know, we do a lot of stuff together.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the misconceptions. Like, I think a lot of fathers feel like if I'm going to do something with my kids, it has to be extravagant. And it's like, it doesn't. And if you're a boss and you're working, you know, on your own entrepreneurship goals, man, that time is, you know, is scarce, man. So you don't, and you're broke. You're startup broke, man. Like, I was startup broke for 6 years, man, where my friends are like, yo, let's go to the movies. And it's like, well, I could afford the movies, but I'd rather not. And they would look at me like I'm crazy. And it's like, nah, I don't, you know, I just don't have the time for that, right? And it's like, let me just do something with them.
The kids don't care about all they care about is whether or not you were there and the quality of the time you spend with them.
Yeah.
That's it. All that traveling stuff, I mean, that's nice, but they don't, it's not the most important thing at all.
Yeah. And I mean, when you're building your company, you also look at it and you say, you know, the expenses, right? Where it's like, it's almost like that saying that people used to say back in the days, like, if you can't buy it twice, don't buy it at all. Right. And it's the same way with the extravagant experiences where it's like, yo, it's cool. We all want to take our kids to Disney. We all want to take them to cool places. Yo, but you don't got to break the bank to do so. You can still have a lot of fun. You know, you can still have a lot of fun without doing those things. You know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, don't be feeling like an imposter. Like, I suffered from that too, but that was some whole other thing. But I don't feel that way anymore. Like, I'm not. It's not true. Like, I'm here for my kids every freaking day. I show up and I do the best I can. And, you know, they're going to remember that they spent a lot of time with daddy and, you know, had fun with daddy. And, you know, I'm a bit, you know, I discipline them, but I don't spank them. But, you know, they know daddy's a little crazy, so they kind of fear me, which is good because they don't act the whole fool.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here, you know, I show up every single day, man. So, and that's what matters.
Yeah, man. I tell dads all the time, man, you can't be perfect, but you could be present. And when you're present, man, it goes a long, long way, man.
Dude, that's like 75% of the game, I think, right?
Yeah. And for both, right? For fatherhood and entrepreneurship. Because you can't be present without being there. You know what I mean? Like, you can't put in work without being there.
Show up. And the other thing I would say is, like, you got to take time to take care of yourself. You got to make sure your mental health is good, because if you're not good, you can't be good for the kids.
So what about those guys that, you know, I'm gonna play devil's advocate, right? There's guys out there like Gary Vee, right? Gary Vaynerchuk. He's a 24/7. I'm working. What would you say to the guys that are working and say, I don't have too much time for my kids?
That's bullshit, man.
Like, mommy got that. You know what I mean?
That's bullshit. I just said it.
Yeah, like, but why? I don't even know how to ask this, bro. Like, would we even waste our time trying to convert somebody like that, or would you just let them be?
No, just let them do your thing, do what's best for you. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. Like, it's time. Time flies, man. You got to spend time with your kids, man. Because they're going to remember. If you didn't spend time with them, they will remember that. Oh, you were never around. Oh, but I provided a great life for you. You got to do this, got to do that. But like, yeah, I just wanted to spend time with you, though.
Oof, that hurts. That hurts. I mean, we see it on TV all the time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we see it on TV all the time when a kid says, man, I just wanted you. You know, hopefully.
I just want you to come to my baseball game, right?
Yeah, just show up. Just show up. And like we said earlier, man, showing up is 75% to 80% of the battle. Like, you show up, they already remembered you show up. Now, if you start cursing at the umpire, that's a different topic. You know what I mean? But at least you showed up. Man.
You don't want to do that. Don't be acting a fool when you show up, but show up.
Word. So last couple questions, man. Like, what are some of those lessons that you learned through entrepreneurship that you weren't expecting that now you could teach your kids? Like, is there? What are some of those lessons?
I think persistence and resilience, you know, aka grit, that's the most important thing, man. You know, the kids have got to be, you can't coddle them, all this helicopter and bulldozer parenting, you're actually doing your kids a disservice. So there's an interesting book I read called Grit. And one of the things that she talked about is, you know, how do you make gritty children? And the science shows that when kids have to overcome adversity at a young age, it literally rewires their brains to make them grittier adults. And if they're going to be grittier adults, they're more likely to be successful. So you got to let them go through some stuff, right? So they could, you know, flex their resilience and persistence muscles so that they could be grittier adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're saying no second place trophies over here, bro?
First place, third place, no participation. I'm not down with the participation trophy. That's the other thing. But no, I don't want that.
Yeah, so you're cool if they get like a second place or a proud of second place and third place.
First, second, third, of course, right?
But just a trophy for participation? Nah.
I mean, you can have a certificate because you participate, but you can't have a trophy.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because we got my oldest to the point that he won a soccer, they won a second place in a soccer tournament. And they gave him a medal. And my son left it on the beach. They were playing beach soccer, and he left it on the beach. And I go, yo, Jaden, what's up with your medal? He goes, I don't want that thing, Dad. You guys don't celebrate it. And it was like, damn, that sucks, because we wanted him to be happy, but we also wanted him to know that, yo, second place is not what you want. You want that first place. And he believed that they deserved first place.
Gold, silver, bronze, that's first, second, third place. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, he was tight. He was tight. He was like, Dad, I don't want that.
You don't deserve a trophy. You don't come, you know, trophy, you come in last place. That's just me, though. People have different opinions about that, but that's just me.
Nah, I agree with you. And I think he got it, too, because I think he was proud to win that second place. But to him, it was like, yo, we should have won. And since the rest of my team didn't fight for this, I don't even want this thing. And, you know, it was one of those moments where it was like, I was proud that you wanted more, but I also saw him and me, or me and him, where I don't celebrate those small wins. Yeah, I don't celebrate the small wins. And for kids, they need to celebrate those small wins. And us too. In business, we need to celebrate those small wins, yo. 50 grand that you raised to somebody else might look like a little bit. To me, it looks like huge news. Celebrate that shit.
Man, I was so excited about that, especially given who it came from. You know what I mean? I was so excited about that. Just so thankful. I mean, I just always... just thankful, you know. You can't have a positive life with negative thinking.
Yes. Can't have a positive life with a negative thinking. That's, man, just look around your favorite people, man. Some of them are living with negative thinking. You know what I mean? And they hold us all down.
Yeah, man. So
You know, that's crazy, man. And you know, the last lesson from what you just said about money is that you got an investor that cared about your mission. And one thing that we've all learned in business is that you don't want dumb money. You want smart money. You want money that could work for you, and the person could work for you. It's not just about the capital.
Sometimes all you can get is money. Ideally, I agree with you, but sometimes you can't get smart money. You just got to take what you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the proper intention.
I do agree with you. If you can get the smart money, get the smart money. But if you can't get that, you just do money. Get the money and go get some smart people to help you out.
That's right. And don't feel bad when people tell you, yo, go ask your family for some money. Yo, we don't got it like that. It's okay. It's okay to tell them, yo, fuck off, man. We don't got it like that. You cut me a check.
That's true.
So, James, man, to wrap it up, man, what's next for Parentpreneur, bro?
So we're about to do another round of grants for the Black Dadpreneurs in the community. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a plan to scale up the foundation to have maximum impact with the Black Parentpreneurs in this country, but also to have global impact.
Yeah.
So I'll be working on that this year. You know, we just got included in the TechStars Accelerate Equity, TechStars Insane. Foundation Accelerate Equity Program.
Insane.
Which they have not formally announced that yet, but that's great. So we're on their platform now, and people who donate through that platform, TechStars is matching 5% of donations. So look, like if this work that I'm talking about we're doing, you think that's valuable and it matters to you, like please go support us. We have a really compelling set of programs for 2021, but we got to raise another $160,000. If you go to techstars.org/parentpreneur, you can donate to our foundation right there. You'll see Bladfeld is the one who sponsored us. He donated $100,000 so far. And make a donation for us, and TechStars will match 5% and will help us empower these Black Parentpreneurs so they can leave a legacy for their beautiful Black children. Yeah. I would appreciate that very much.
Nah, that's what's
my
up.
People in my community.
Nah, that's what's up, man. I've seen you do the work, man. You know, when I first met you, when we first talked, it was about amplification and finding other parents that were hustling. And I want to apologize to you, matter of fact. And the reason I want to apologize is because I'm rough. And the first time you and I spoke, my first thought was, all right, James wants some amplification, but I'm more about impact. What you proved to me wasn't that you didn't care about the amplification. That was just a business maneuver. Don't. You didn't care about that. Yeah. What you cared about was the impact. And you proved that to me in the past year. So thank you for that, bro, because I don't let people just come into this game and swing lightly. You know what I mean? Like, they can't just come in and run their shit. I challenge everybody. Yeah. And when I challenge people, it could come off the wrong way. But it's just that we get burned. You know, we get burned so much that you want people to prove it.
I get it. So amplification is one aspect of my business model. So that's just one piece. I mean, it's sort of important, but it's not the most important piece. But, you know, we get a nice PR hit, which we have had in the past. It increases our membership.
Yeah.
You know, and we increase our membership. It's a better story to tell to large donors, right? So it all feeds off of itself.
Yep. And you're doing it, bro. So I applaud you. I salute you. I thank you. You know, I'm startup poor. I'm gonna go up in there and donate too, because you guys bless me with not just a little bit of cash, but you also bless me with knowledge, man. You bless me with a community, and you know, it's very, very appreciative. You know, I appreciate it big time, bro. Like, for real. It's
needed. You show up in the community, and I see it, and I appreciate you showing up. You know, I just got to get more of the dads in the house to show up, and I will. We'll create some spaces and some opportunities for them to show up. So we will.
Nah, we'll push it, man. You know, anything you got geared towards the dads, you know, you send it to me, and you don't even got to say anything. Just send me the link, and I know what to do from there. You know what I mean? I got you. You know, I got you.
My man.
Yeah. So, what's the best way they could find you, man?
Parentpreneurfoundation.org is the link to the Parentpreneur Foundation website. You know, it's funny, like, I'm not really on social media. One of the things that I learned from Seth Godin when he came and talked to us the first time last year was, he said, instead of trying to do things to get attention, find ways to get your customers to tell 10 of their friends about your business. So I've been focused on that. So, you know, I'm on Twitter. I'm at James Oliver Jr., James Oliver Jr. I'm on LinkedIn, but I'm super intentional about how I use LinkedIn for the benefit of the community. I'm not just on there. I don't treat LinkedIn like Facebook. Mm-hmm. So the best way to connect with me is Twitter. I mean, I have IG handles for myself. I'm at TrepDad, but I'm hardly on IG. I'm actually about to hire an agency to manage the Parentpreneur Foundation IG page, but that's going to be, again, very intentional to attract donors. I'm not doing it to try to get people to like my posts and join the community, because people are going to join because we give stuff away. So I'm not worried about that. I want to use that page to attract donors so we can get more resources so we can benefit the people in our community.
Yeah, the vanity metrics still work with the donors, man. You know, they work with the people and the people funding. So it's definitely a part of the strategy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like you said earlier, when you execute the way you guys are executing, the vanity metrics don't come off as vanity. They come off as social proof. You know what I mean?
Word.
And that's what really matters. Well, James, man, you know, you killed it, man. You know, I brought you on here because I wanted to let Daz know that, yo, you know, being a parent shouldn't stop you from starting a hustle or from starting a business.
And there's
communities out there for us. So thank you. Thank you for all that you do. 100%. Thank you for the gems, man. And, you know, I wish you best of luck. And, you know, I got your back. Anything you need, man.
Word.
You know how we roll.
I'm here, fam.
All right. To the dads out there. To all the dads out there that want to get their hustle on or doing so already, entrepreneurship is hard, but you don't have to go through it alone. There are people like James Oliver out there ready to help out, and groups like Parentpreneur. Just like parenting, it's up to you to take full advantage of it and boss up. Thank you once again, James. Thank you to the community. Let's get it. Fatherhood is lit.